I'm happy to welcome Dorothy Weil back to the studio tonight. In addition to four novels, including The River Home, River Rats, Life, Sex, and Fast Pitch Softball, and A Good Woman, she has published a memoir, short stories, some 150 articles for magazines and newspapers, a collection of poetry, and a book about America's first best-selling author, Susanna Rawson. She's also written and co-produced many television documentaries, including a prize-winning series about America's rivers. She's contributed humor columns and art reviews to Cincinnati Magazine, which twice voted her best feminist author. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest novel, which is titled Love and Terror. Dorothy, welcome back to Around Cincinnati.
Hi. Hi, Barbara.
So Love and Terror focuses on the Howard family, and we're actually introduced to three generations. So before we talk about what's actually going on, what is the focus of their lives at this point, just introduce us to them and where do they live?
The Howards live very definitely in Cincinnati. There are three generations, two young men who are around 30, their parents who are in their early 50s, and the grandparents who are facing 80. And the grandparents live in a castle, of which there are several around Cincinnati. One of the younger boys lives in Over the Rhine. Another lives in the suburbs. And the central characters, the two central characters who are in their early 50s, live in a neighborhood similar to Clifton.
So there is a crisis in the family, and this has to do with Eric. So where does Eric fall in that lineup, and what's happening in his life?
Eric really is not as developed as the other characters because at the beginning of the novel, he's desperately ill. And what brings the family together for new patterns and new confrontations and new developments in their own lives is the fact that he is very, very ill, and the family has to come together to help him get through a crisis. And, of course, he has a big impact on all the people's lives.
So this is a family that, from all outer aspects, we might say, looks like they have it all, but there are cracks beneath the surface, if you will. So, you know, in terms of how they relate to each other, give us a little map of the eldest generation, what they were like, what they represent, and then Eric and Judith, who are the in-between generation, and then their sons.
As you said, it's a family that seems to have it all. They're intelligent, they're affluent, and until this crisis, relatively healthy and successful people. So they're quite shocked when they suddenly have this upset in the family. I think the family is not dysfunctional, unlike most things today. Everybody's dysfunctional in a big way. Of course, they have their problems. They all have problems and expectations and dreams that aren't always being answered. And one of the younger men has had a problem with drugs, which the others have been trying to help him overcome. And he's struggling with that as he tries to help the family through their current crisis. So we see the backstories of these people as they interact with the other people and they undergo the events. We see some of their memories and their thoughts. And so we get a pretty good picture of these three different ages.
Well, one of the ways that we do get to know each of these characters is through the way you structured the novel. So you want to tell us a little bit about that and why you chose that?
I wanted you to get behind these characters. And so what I did was I will go from one point of view to another. Now, the main point of view is the woman who is at the center of it, really, the mother of the two young men. She is an English teacher and very interested in the importance of literature. And some of the chapters are quite short. Some are a little bit longer. They go into the thoughts and background and feelings of each character. So we do go from one character to another. But Judith, who is the sort of 50-ish woman and the mother of the two younger characters, is the central character. And she really carries the suspense as to what will she do? Will the husband pull through? And if so, are they going to stay together and so on? But that's kind of a nutshell picture of it. There's a lot going on that as they travel through this.
I want to go on to ask about another part of your life. because I read that your father and your grandfather were riverboat captains. So I'm wondering, were they kind of in and out of your life because they were traveling a lot? Did you go with them? What was that like for you as a child, and how did it influence your writing?
We did live on a steamboat for a while, and it meant a great deal, I think, because it's so unusual. Then we did travel a lot as children, so we've really had a very rich, a little bit chaotic, because we traveled a lot, and we moved hither and thither as my father, through the Depression, was really looking for work, because steamboats went out of style. But my grandfather was also a steamboat captain, and then my brother was a towboat pilot. Then we also lived on the river at a marina for a while, where my dad was a caretaker. And then my dad was mate on the Island Queen, the one in the 1940s that blew up at Pittsburgh. But I think it gave us a kind of a set apart feeling, maybe, so that my brother and I both were artists. My brother's also a writer and artist, and was. He died in 2002. But I did do a memoir about this. Then I have lived in Cincinnati basically all my life, so I know the city very well.
I thank you very much for another good read, and I know that listeners are going to have a great time thinking about all these places in Cincinnati that you suggest or allude to. So hope to see you again, Dorothy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara. It was good to see you.
I've been talking with Dorothy Weil about her latest novel, Love and Terror. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.